Let me just say, and the podcast will tell you as well, that keto can actually put type 2 diabetes into remission. Now, that's amazing.
Hi, and welcome to Lead Well, the podcast for you if you want to get better at leading yourself and leading others. This is Christine Schickinger, your host, looking into how you can achieve peak performance while keeping a peaceful mind.
Hello, this is another interview with a wonderful guest. I have here with me Marina Wild. Hi, Marina.
Hello.
Hello. And you have quite a history. You have a BA honors degree in communication.
I
So
do,
I sense a bit of a corporate background there as well.
to a degree,
So you're.
I did. It was a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. And then you're an NLP master practitioner and also a qualified clinical hypnotherapist.
Yes.
And we can talk about that because I had an experience with that, which
You
is
did.
amazing.
Good.
Yeah. And then you have been supporting and mentoring people over the last 10 years
Yes.
to change their lives. And you're saying that since COVID, there was one particular question that has come your way pretty often, and
Yes.
that's about how do I get rid of all the weight that I have put
Yes.
on? Or even people who have got type 2 diabetes.
Yes, sure. Yes, and do you like a little bit of background on that?
Yes,
Okay,
absolutely.
so briefly just about me. I was brought up with parents who were completely ignorant about food. So my weight has been a problem up and down most of my adult life. And I did diets and so on and so forth. I'm fascinated by how people function. So if you have an objective and you achieve it, what do you do to that objective that I do differently? Okay. And so that's the thing that's really fascinated me. Anyway, so more briefly, when we got to COVID, I was about probably about 30 pounds heavier. And in my head, I thought, oh my word, with COVID, we're going to get the lockdown. So we can't go out and it's a big change. And I thought to myself, that's not going to be healthy for people. And so I decided I was 30 pounds heavier and I thought I am not going to be putting any more weight on. That was a decision, conscious decision. And I thought, look, there'll be a lot of people that'll be stuck at home or sat in the lounge watching television and just eating. And that's the case. And so during the lockdown period, I did a fair amount of research and I had a kind of one or two people that had got a bit of an insight. And that's where I was first introduced to keto or the ketogenic lifestyle. Now, bear in mind, I've been a dieter most of my life, and there's many people like me. The conventional wisdom is you go on a diet to lose weight. The problem with that is that's a conscious decision, there's discipline involved, etc. Just by going on a diet, it will not be sustainable. And I learned that in actual fact, the way the keto lifestyle works is, let me put it into context. So when we eat, we have two forms of fuel. We have sugar and carbs. We have fats. Yeah. Now, when we eat carbohydrates and sugar, the pancreas releases insulin. Yeah. So insulin gets into the bloodstream. And insulin's objective is to make sure the sugar that's in the bloodstream is going into the cells to give us the energy and the fuel, which is fine. But what happens is, and this is very layman's terms because I'm not an academic in this, but what happens is the cells take the sugar in and they close. Insulin goes, no, you need to open because I've got more sugar. Cells go, no. So insulin then redistributes the sugar that turns it into fat And that's why people put on weight.
Hmm.
Yeah. So that's how the body functions in terms of the fuel that it receives, right? The question becomes then, well, if you want to lose weight, how do you not spike insulin? And that really boils down to the fact you have to stop consuming sugar and carbs. Because what happens is when the carbs and the sugar have been utilized or stored, if you switch off that fuel source of sugar, the brain and the body goes, oh, actually, you know, I've got to do a run or I've got to go for a swim. I need some fuel. What happens then is with the depletion of sugar in the blood stream and in the cells, it forces you to utilize your stored fat, which is brilliant. Now, eating things like meat, fish, good fats, vegetables, etc., they do not spike insulin. That's why you can eat a fair amount of that sort of food, very healthy food. The body will get the nutrients. And then once the nutrients and the food is digested, then the system goes, well, I still need a bit more energy. And it will consume the body fat that you've previously stored. Now, that's a whole different process in comparison to going on a diet, reducing calories, losing weight, and then reverting back to it. So, in addition, with me, I was fortunate to have experienced learning the starts of NLP a long time ago. And it was very practical based, but I knew that NLP is very hand in glove with hypnosis, exactly, okay, and mindfulness, okay. So, as of course, as you can imagine, with people struggling to lose weight, you ask the question, what's driving the food in the first place? Yeah. And for many people consume food because they feed their emotions. Yeah. So then I realized then if I'm utilizing the right fuel source in the fats on the body, then I need to be also looking at it from a mindful point of view because essentially the mind and the brain run the body. So having trained in clinical hypnotherapy, its objective is to support and reinforce beliefs, attitudes, breaking habits, changing behaviors. And that's been the real powerful underpinning or the foundation because you've got two aspects there. You are eating the right food and you are clearing out your mental concerns that have got you into the place where you're heavy in that context. So that's pretty fundamental. And that's where I've been looking at developing this. And I've had such success with it, really. And people do say it's just easy. But the thing is, you see, if you don't know this, then there's going to be so many people out there who are trying desperately to lose weight, but they haven't got the information that this is what's really happening in the body. So when you're aligning what's going on in the body, and clearing out your mind of the unpleasant thoughts and the emotional eating and anxiety and depression and all the kind of nasties, which is when the mindfulness comes in, then you are going for it. You're in control, yeah, because you understand what's going on, yeah. So when I treat patients, this is what I tell them to start with. Because also, my patients come to see me and then they go off into their world. So, if they go to pick up a chocolate bar, they can choose to do that. They have a choice because they now know if they eat that chocolate bar, it's going to be the glucose into the cells, and then there'll be fat storing otherwise. So, they get a choice. Now, the other thing about this is I've spent a lot of time learning and growing and adapting with my journey in the first place. And upon the books that I've read, if you're going to adopt something like this, it's really important or really helpful if you've got a support network behind you. Doing it on your own can be a challenge. And the other thing about this in terms of mindfulness is that we also factor in there will be times when you might well go for the chocolate bar or you might get fed up with something. That's okay because we're human, but the benefits really are so profound. And so that's where I started. So I started in March 2020 when the COVID pandemic became intense worldwide. And so through that period, just by the research and changing my approach to food, etc., I dropped 30 pounds like that.
So what would you eat?
What would I eat? The idea is you're avoiding everything that could spike insulin. The foods that don't spike insulin are meat, fish, great vegetables, anything that does not have a carbohydrate level. So the optimum is to basically switch off the glucose, consume food until you feel comfortably full, and then that's it. When you get to that level and you're satiated, then that's when the body goes, right, okay, I get this. And it switches over. The liver then releases ketones, hence the ketogenic context. And once that happens, the ketones burn the fat. Now, because of that, with my experience, I've been doing it a few years, you become what they call fat adapted. That means that once you're in that level of routine, shall I say, you'll be amazed how long you can go without feeling hungry. Now, my greatest approach to this, as is most things for me, Christine, is give it a go. Yeah? Give it a go. Yeah? There's no pressure, there's no forcibleness. If you've been unhappy in your life because of your weight, and believe you me, I've been there, this makes all the difference and it just functions so well. When you eat glucose and sugar, it's so toxic. It's an addiction. Sugar is an addiction, yeah? When it starts to deplete from your body, your system comes up. It kind of comes alive. I found personally that I don't get as fatigued as much. I don't feel tired as much. I don't need as much sleep. And you think, wow, this is really cool. And so it all comes together. It's like the planets lining up. And that's where it makes all the difference. And that's where I come from.
And I admit, I'm listening. I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. And in my head, there is a war going on. And there is one thing that probably not a lot of people know about me, that I used to be bulimic for probably 15 years of my life when I was a young adult. And my relationship with food, it's become peaceful right now, I would say. But for a long, long time, I was eating because I was dealing with emotions rather than my nutrition.
Definitely.
And still now, food is an extremely sensitive topic for me. So whenever I hear someone saying that this is the right way to consume food, I'm like, as I said, I have a war in my head. And I do have several questions because I totally get it for the sugar. So I'm, as we speak now today, on day 30 of my challenge that I made up for myself with no chocolate and no sweets and no cake. I have not felt a big difference, to be honest. So that didn't do it for me, but it was easier than I thought. Also, thanks to you, because we had this
You
hypnotheric
did, yes.
hypnosis, the trance that we went through, and I installed a switch that says no sugar.
Yes.
I even taped it so that it stays there. And the funny thing is, whenever I went to a grocery store in the very first days, then I looked at the stuff and I saw the switch in my head.
Oh,
That
excellent.
was really funny. That was really
You see,
funny.
the thing about using the mindfulness and the hypnosis stuff is at the unconscious level, that's where your imagination sits. Yeah. And it's the imagination that is really powerful in terms of the way you can introduce change. Yeah. And so it's a big deal. But when you go into that, like as you've experienced, when you go into my world, in my trance world, you know, You can ask the unconscious mind through the utilization of the imagination to make these kind of changes. And it's just wonderful. The other thing also that happens as well as what we do in the NLP speak of things, there is a technique. It's called the new behavior generator. And the thing is, you can do that at the unconscious level while you're in trance using the imagination. So you can ask the unconscious mind to switch out all the bad behaviors and just ask the unconscious to develop new behaviors instead. And when you get that level of engagement with an un person's unconscious, it just makes all the difference, and it takes out the misery of it. Yeah, how many times, you say, "Oh, I've been on another diet again, Marina." And how did that go on? Well, it was all right. Now, the other thing about this, and this has come through my journey, is that we've got so much in life to cope with. We've got responsibilities, we've got financial worries, and so on. And that's a very much a burden in itself, and we're very burdened. So my new branding is going to be called Lighten Up. Yeah. And it's a nice way of looking at it because you're lightening up the mind, you're lifting the burdens of the mind, but you're also lightening up your system, you're lighting up your body. So, yeah. And this has absolutely all come through my journey of discovery as well. So I'm absolutely delighted to share it, basically. Yeah.
So you said there are some stories that you have already with your clients. So are there any particular stories you would like to share?
I had one lady, ever such a nice lady, and she came to see me and she said, I think it, let's say it was May 2021, right? Give or take. She'd said to me that her daughter was getting married the following May. But unfortunately, because of the COVID virus, the wedding had to be postponed several times. And like many, this lady had put on quite a bit of weight, but she had that objective. So she came to me and she said, I really want to look amazing at my daughter's wedding. I said, well, that's a goal I can work with any day long. I always give people the opportunity to learn about trances and what it's like. Unfortunately, trance is a bit mystifying, but basically, a trance is the experience of daydreaming. Like you can be just doing something and your mind just drifts, and you might think, oh, and you that's trance in a nutshell. You just drift off, yeah. There's nothing sinister about it. And the other thing I would like to mention is I could not hypnotize someone to do something inappropriate because we all have a moral compass. And what I mean by that is if anything was to be implemented that was not appropriate, your unconscious mind won't have it. It go, hang on a minute, this don't work, this does not feel right, which is really, so it's a really important thing to know. You can't fool your unconscious. Yeah, but in this context,
I mean, I can share my experience with that because I've been really hard at the beginning to let go and be put in a trance because I'm like, no. I can't allow it now, but I still have full control over my mind, even if I'm in a trance. I mean, I know I can always decide to get out of it, which is really interesting.
That's because when you go into a trance, you're in a very deep state of relaxation, but you're consciously awake. You've got all your faculties, you're just really relaxed. And I'll tell you, if people just had the opportunity to just develop a new behavior, and even if they sat down in a chair and just relaxed for 5 minutes every day, I can't tell you how much of an impact that would have. And so, yeah, so I explained all this to this lady who came to see me, and she came frequently, and She dropped about 5 stone. Oh, yeah, I don't know what that works out at, but it was a lot of weight. And she got to her goal. She bought a fabulous mother of the bride dress and hat and shoes. And even now, I'm buzzing, you know, because it was so good. I had a gentleman come to see me. Very big gentleman, very hardworking guy, really big. And his daughter contacted me and she said, "My dad's very heavy. He's got type 2 diabetes. Can you help him?" And I said, "Well, it should be him phoning me, not you. Because you've got to want to do it. You've got to have some level of motivation to go, yes, I'm going to do this." Anyway, so I said, "All right, then, come down to my clinic and we'll have a chat." Okay. And I remember when they came in, they looked at me like, "What is she going to do? What's she going to do to me?" I mean, this guy was huge. Anyway, we sat down and we had a bit of a chat, and they calmed down and he calmed down. And it was so funny because he said afterwards, he said, "I'd given you 5 minutes, Marina. You had 5 minutes to impress me." And then I was out the door. Okay. But the funny thing was, I said to him, "Actually, I was only giving you 3 minutes because then you'd be out the door." He was like, "What?" I said, "I don't work with just anyone. I work with people who really, really want it." Okay. And he was amazing. He was so amazing. And again, through the process with the mindfulness and the guidance, people tend to get so much more out of it than just the goal of losing the weight. It's life-changing. I think I said, "What would you like out of your life?" You ask a, I'm sure you might find this. If you ask somebody, "Well, what do you want?" They go, "Well, I don't want this. I definitely don't want that." And I don't, I go, no. "What do you want?" And that's because we're all preconditioned to focus on the negative rather than on the positive. And that's kind of wired in. So I feel, and I, you know, I'm sure you can see, I feel so privileged to support people like this in this way. And that's where I'm doing it. And that's where I'm at.
Wow, that's fantastic. And you know that in my podcast, I always put a lot of emphasis also on the scientific background. And we've had that conversation before. So why don't you share a bit about the science behind this?
Okay, so basically, I did my research, as I mentioned before. There's this gentleman, Dr. Eric Westman. He's based at Duke University. And funnily enough, he kind of stumbled on this as well with certain patients that he found. And he kind of got a bit intrigued by low carb. So, as you know, because we spoke earlier, that I have sent you the original episode or the original podcast. It's called Diet Doctor. So he talks about the this, the that, and the other, and the kind of the interpretation of low carb, avoiding tart, toxins, sugar, and what have you. And I was really like, yeah, this guy knows his stuff. You know, I'm a pretty switched on lady. This is very much my area. But I didn't want to take it on a whim. I wanted someone like him who's medical and professional and clinical. And he's dealing with people with type 2 diabetes. And let me just say, and the podcast will tell you as well, that keto can actually put type 2 diabetes into remission. Now, that's amazing. So, Dr. Westman was the first professional clinical mind I'd found. And lo and behold, there's another doctor called Dr. Onwin, he lives up in the north part of the United Kingdom. And he was a general practitioner. And he found that he was getting a couple of patients coming in to see him. And they had shifted and dropped loads of weight. And he's like, "How did you do that?" Bearing in mind. And he researched his endeavors. And he found that the whole keto lifestyle and what have you was absolutely formidable. So I wouldn't be here today conveying what I've learned and what I've experienced, because of course I am part of the equation. I've never been that thin, and I probably never will be, and you find your balance. But it's important to me, A, that you have a basis of where you start. B, you take it with an element, I'll try, I'll give it a go. And of course, remember, we're human. And so there are times when there'll be a thing. Now, like me, if I'd been on a conventional diet and I'd struggled to start and I'd not eaten much for a week and I'd lost 2 pounds, and then something had upset me and I'd go straight for a biscuit, I'd eat the biscuit and that would be the diet over. Not with this. This is not the way. This is a gentle, supportive way of growing. I wouldn't say change, because change has its own sort of connotations, yeah? Especially for patients like this gentleman who came to see me, who he was reluctant to change, but he was okay to grow. And I thought that was really fascinating, really interesting. The dynamics of two words can make all the difference. Of course, the other thing to remember is people find it very difficult to move away from what is familiar to them. Yeah. So when you start with someone like me, with a patient, it's very tentative, it's very supportive, and they'll do it. It's all in the right context as well, you know.
Wow, that's great. Wow, that's fantastic. And yes, you obviously have done your research and you have got your own experience already. I've done a little bit of research as well, and what I found is that in a recent episode of The Diary of a CEO, for example, and I can't remember the name of the doctor there, but she's talking about mental health issues that could be cured with the keto diet, which I found interesting as well.
Well,
And
there is another. Dr. Westman is funny because he's clinical. Fair enough. There's a lot of influencers as well, and the one or two that I've come across, very, very credible. Fine. One of them was also very much on YouTube. It's Dr. Annette Bosworth. Yeah, and she treated her mum with keto. When I say treated, not in a kind of a medical patient, that she was her mother. And she did her own research and she found that by eradicating sugar and carbs from the diet and putting in the good fats, that the change from in her mother was really impressive. So she talks about that on YouTube. So that's a poignant, if any one of your listeners or your viewers who would be interested. So that's fine. That's the thing. But ultimately, Christina, it's like you're on your own journey, yeah? And sometimes I remember one of my lovely quotes that it was from a Batman film. Get this, right? So Bruce Wayne's a little boy and he's out and he falls out. He's little. He's not Batman just yet, but he's little. And his father goes and puts his hand out. And his father says, "Sometimes, Bruce, you have to fall over so you can learn to get up again." And I love that because that's the case, you know. The mindfulness calms the mind down because obviously we have a critical voice in our mind. Shouldn't be eating that. Oh, I wish I hadn't had that chocolate bar. Oh, I'm just such a loser. Do you know what I mean? That's the thing. But with the mindfulness, it calms the mind down and so forth. So.
Wow, cool. I'll put a little caveat here because in my research, I also found that there are some people where the keto diet is not appropriate, and there can be effects, especially around women and hormones. That's
Definitely.
something to be aware
Definitely.
of.
Yeah,
And then there is no study that really can talk about the long-term effects, but still, if it's that great. And as you said, if I'm doing it for a month and I see the effects and I like it, why not
Don't get me wrong. I'll
try
get,
that?
I think there's a misconception about sort of therapists that have got it all going on, that we're perfect. Believe you me, we're not. You know, we all have our life's ups and downs, but this is about teaching people What they do with it, how they deal with it, is their choice. But they have the insight, they have the guidance in the first place, yeah? And that's healthy, you know? So it's not a forceful thing. It's like, this gentleman, I said briefly, this gentleman who came to see me, the big guy, type 2 diabetic, I said to him, when you were diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, he goes, yeah. What happened? And he went, well, they took the blood sample and they did a bit of analysis and they told me I've got type 2 diabetes. Right? And? What do you mean, and? Well, what did they give you any support? No. What? No support? No. I just gave me a diet sheet, told me to get on with it. That's the tragedy, really, because I don't know if you're aware, but I mean, our NHS in the UK is on its knees. I don't know about other countries because, you know, it's different. And I just feel for not only the staff, but also the patients who are on waiting lists to be helped. And they haven't got that opportunity, you know? So this is where my world is. And I was absolutely amazed when he said, well, it was nothing. Some people go around in life and they will never know, eh? And I also with I don't know about you with your involvement, but one of the most important things I always say to my patients is whatever's gone on has gone on, but something got you through my clinic door to see me. That's to be celebrated. Whatever it is, well done. You've come in, you're facing someone who's a hypnotherapist. And you think, oh my God. But that's a leap of faith, Christine. You know, it really, really is. So I feel really privileged to be able to support people like this, even those with the greatest level of skepticism or
Like
judgment.
me.
Like you.
So where can people find you? Because we could go on forever
I
here,
know.
but
Oh, I know. Yeah.
how can we find you?
Sure. I have a website. It's www.bournemouthhypnosis.com. So that's where you'll find me. And there I
Wonderful.
have a Facebook page, but yeah. So
That's great. And I'll make sure to put the link to your website in the
thank
show
you.
notes and also the links to the two podcasts and make
Yes,
the
that would be amazing because that was my starting
recommendations.
point. People have to make their own decisions, absolutely fine.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I'm
Because
so pleased that my life has taken me in this way. The lady who went to the wedding, when she went home and her husband said, oh, I'll do it with you. You know, and suddenly the bridegroom, the husband, and that, and there were four of them, they all dropped weight because they were doing it together, which I think is essential. And that's the thing, that's my next approach. To get a community going where we can be supportive and we can learn from each other as well. So,
And giving people choices.
precisely, yeah. And like you said, it's not for everyone, and that's fine, absolutely fine. You have to find what works for you in life. And for me, this is a good one. So, and I'm delighted to have had the opportunity to share it with you today, Christine.
Wonderful.
Thank you
Thank you
so
so much, Marina. And
much.
thank you to
My
our
pleasure.
audience. And until the next episode, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye
Take care.
bye.
Bye.
This was Lead Well. Now, what is the one thing that you're taking away from this episode? Please share in the comments below and do share the podcast with your friends and family, but only if you like it.